Good morning. I want to thank Frank for those songs that he led. Thank the men that have served so far with prayers and the Lord's Supper. Hope everything's been pleasing to God and done in spirit and truth. Couple of announcements real quick. Dick and Peggy are in Pahrump today. In case you were wondering where they were, he's over there preaching, and he taught class and is preaching this morning. Also, we need to remember in our prayers, Marion and Tracy, they are in Jamaica right now and on vacation. They'll be back with us soon. There was a correction in the bulletin. I'm going to start a petition to maybe us firing the secretary. We're having a potluck on the last Sunday of the month, the 30th. It's not the 27th. So, or the 26th. I think the bulletin said 26th. So we'll let it slide this time. Do we even have a secretary? I don't think we have a secretary. She's doing it for free, but thank you, Stacy, for doing that. But we're not going to have a potluck on a Wednesday, so it'll be the last Sunday. And David Phillips, mark your calendars, in just a few weeks, David Phillips will be here. I think this is like his 10th or 11th year in a row for a gospel meeting. You might want to invite your friends and so forth. He will be here Friday, August 11th, and then finish up Sunday the 13th. And he'll be here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so need to remember that. We've got a couple of prayer requests. Some people are requesting prayers. Teresa has requested prayers for her sister, Carol, who's had a colonoscopy recently and a mass was discovered, and they are still waiting for the results of that to come back. We need to remember her sister Carol, and also Jenny Gwinnett is requesting prayers for her mother, who had a stroke in June and is currently in a rehab hospital in Korea. And so let's pray for them. Let's go to, yes.
June had a little accident this morning.
Okay.
That's why the doors are closed, the paramedics are here. Can we pray for him?
Absolutely. June had a little accident and is being treated by the paramedics. I had no idea of that. So we will include June in our prayers also. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we get busy in the hustle-bustle world that our lives are, and sometimes we forget to thank you. Thank you for all the great blessings in our lives, the physical, but also the spiritual blessings. Dear God, there's a few of our number right now that we request special prayers for. We ask that you be with June right now, be with him physically. We're thankful that we have access to things like the paramedics and stuff that can check him out and make sure he's physically okay. Dear God, we ask that you be with Carol. I'm sure she is anxious, waiting for the results of the tests and so forth. We ask that you comfort her. And our desire is that mass is not cancer, that it's benign, and that the doctors will be able to treat it and get her back to her normal, healthy life. Dear God, we also ask for Jenny's mom, who has suffered a stroke. We ask that you continue to be with her in the rehab facility, that she is able to continue to recover and regain her health. We're thankful for the medical care that she's getting, that we ask that you be with the doctors and nurses that give her the care and make sure it's what she needs. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we ask that you be with those of our members who are gone today. We ask that you be with Dick and Peggy. Give them safe travels back to Las Vegas. We're thankful that he was able to teach and preach today in Pahrump. Well, we ask that you be with Tracy and Marion while they're traveling. And we pray for this upcoming gospel meeting with David Phillips. We're thankful that he is able to come back and that we have an opportunity to invite our friends and relatives to hear his words from the Bible, and that we can hear the words from the Bible to encourage and help build our faith. Dear God, be with us with the rest of our service to you. We hope that everything we have and will do is pleasing to you, glorifies you, and has been done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to, you might want to take out your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John. That is where the majority of our lesson is going to be taken today. It is titled, I Am. And when I thought about myself, you know, what am I? You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. Husband and father, a teacher, coach, friend, and thrill seeker, adventurer, chief bottle washer, you know, a little bit of everything. Nothing stands out on this list. You know, there's other Christians. There's lots of husbands and fathers. You know, I guess being a Christian stands out in the world, but I'm not the only one. You know, I'm in a room full of Christians. But Jesus said, I am a number of different things. When Jesus says, I am, he stands out. And it's unique. And although there's nothing special about this list for me, when he says, I am X, Y, or Z, that is special. In John 8:58, and this is taken from the passage that Chris read today, and I think that you backed up to kind of give it a little context and so forth. Jesus was talking with people, and there were some skeptical people in the group, and they were arguing with Jesus about his connection to Abraham, and they were saying, "What are you talking about? You're not even 50 years old, and you're making this connection to Abraham, our forefather, who lived so long ago. There's no connection between you and Father Abraham." And in verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." That one statement right there says an awful lot. Abraham had a specific life and death period of existence. Jesus is stating Abraham was. He existed. He did live. He died. Had a huge impact on us. But before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
I remember that line in math class for eternity. An arrow going both ways, and it just keeps going. That's I am. Jesus was before Abraham, during Abraham, and still is. He is. He was. He currently is and will forever be. When he says, I am everything. I am eternity. Jesus was at the beginning with the Father. In fact, the book of John starts out, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Before Abraham was, I am. I want us to look at just a few of the things, some proclamations, very important proclamations that Jesus said about himself, that not only I am, but I am this, I am that. If you've got your outline, we'll be following that. And these, interestingly, these are all from the book of John. Toward the tail end of the book of John, John records that many other things Jesus did that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe. That you may believe. All of these examples of I am are from the book of John. One of the things that Jesus says I am the bread of life. Bread is one of the most basic necessities that there is. It was a staple for the people then and the people now. Jesus said he is the bread of life. In John 6, starting in verse 47, he is saying, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die.
Amen.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. When we partook of the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago, when Daryl was directing our minds about the Lord's Supper, Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, when what we call his Last Supper, he instituted what we refer to as communion, as the Lord's Supper. And when he took the bread, he broke it and gave it to them, to his apostles, and said, take, eat. This is my flesh. Do this in remembrance of me. And each and every week, on the first day of the week, we partake of communion. And we are told to remember and to focus on Jesus. That's the focus of communion, is what Jesus did as a sacrifice for us, that he gave his flesh. And that's what he is saying here in John, that I shall give my flesh and I shall give my life for the world.
Amen.
The story of the Bible is the story of Jesus. That he came to give his life. And he's telling the people during his lifetime, I am the bread of the world. Our forefathers had the bread we called manna. It was given by God, came down from heaven, and it sustained the Israelites. They ate of it, and they died. They still died. This bread is from God, came from heaven, but you eat of this, I will give you eternal life.
Amen.
Still from God, still from heaven, and he wants us to remember him every time we take communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Another thing he said, I am the light of the world. We were talking about light earlier in Bible class and about how light illuminates, how it is such a stark contrast from the darkness. Jesus says he is the light of the world. In John 8, this is the account and the event where a woman was brought before Jesus there in front of everybody and embarrassed. She was caught in the act of adultery. And the people were making a huge spectacle of this. And toward the end, when he's talking with her, in verse 12, it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Amen.
Jesus shows people an alternative, shows them the direction that they should go. He showed that crowd, this is the direction to go. This is how you display love. He shows the woman who was caught up in sin an alternative. This is how you live. Not that. And he says, I am the light of the world. In Bible class today, in Matthew, Jesus tells his followers, you are the light of the world. He's not contradicting himself when he says, you're the light of the world, and I am the light of the world. I think it was Stacy that brought up in Bible class, we're not the source of the light. All we do is reflect Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It draws people to the light. When we go out in a very dark, dismal world, whether it's the people at work or the people we see in the neighborhood or maybe even the people in our own families, we stand out. But the light, we are reflecting that light of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. We looked at this scripture earlier, 1 John 1:7, that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, again, reflecting that we're just reflecting Jesus. We're not the source of our own light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. We are the sheep. We are His sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep. In John 10, he's using a comparison that a lot of the people would have understood. A lot of the people were shepherds. And if they weren't shepherds, they saw the life of shepherds. And in verse 7 it says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, and he's already told them this, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the way to get in and out. It's not anybody else. Amen. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men of whom you can be saved. Jesus is the door of the sheep. The sheep, when they come into the fold, they go through Jesus. Not on their own and nobody else. Jesus is guarding the door. But those sheep that go in and out, Jesus doesn't, you're not one of my, you're not a sheep of mine. Stay out, you rhinoceros. Stay out, you giraffe. You're not one of my sheep. And he keeps out the wolves. He's the door of the sheep. But also, he says, in the same passage, he's the good shepherd. In your private study this week, I'd like for you to read, won't take you long, Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. It talks about examples and it describes bad shepherds. Everything that a shepherd should not be. And then you compare it to what Jesus does. In John 10, starting in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. But a hireling, just one of the hired help, is a shepherd for pay. It's not the owner of the sheep. That has no interest other than his paycheck. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. Amen. This last statement here, very important. He knows the sheep. There's a lot of people that want to maybe put some fur or some fleece on and say they're a sheep. Jesus will say in Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you. You're not one of my sheep. I know my sheep because I am one, the shepherd, and I'm the doorkeeper. I keep the gate of my flock. I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. His sheep know him. They don't follow after just any old person. They're following the shepherd, and then somebody walks by and they start following. No, they follow the shepherd. We are his sheep. Jesus makes some bold statements. The boldest is, I am. That covers everything. But he actually made some proclamations. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. Next week, we're going to look at a few other things that Jesus makes the bold proclamation of. If you would, read Ezekiel 34 this week. Won't take you long. And you see everything what a shepherd should not be. And then you think of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The lesson is yours. We will continue next week, as I say, Lord willing. Let's keep those that were announced in our prayers this week. If there's anything we can do for you, when we sing the invitation song, when Frank leads us, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you've been studying and come to the point in your spiritual development that you realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, that you want to become a Christian, if you are a Christian and realize there's sin in your life that you need to repent from and to turn away from, please do so. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.